This is Turn One Thoughtsies. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Zach.
And this is episode 91, Break Even Challenge Results, Pro Tour Prep, and illness. I got sick on the plane. I think
it's no good, man.
Yeah, it's like Concord, right? Yeah, it could be from the airplane. It could be from my fellow gamers. Who knows? But, so, if you hear me coughing or whatever, I will try and edit it out. But if I miss any, that's why.
Fair.
All right, housekeeping. We have not had any new patrons since the last episode. If you are listening to this and you would like to join us and our Patreon, it's patreon.com/turnonthoughtsies. I don't know if that's actually correct. I am very tired. patreon.com/turnonthoughtsies, all spelled out. That is correct. You can, the merch store is still up. T1thoughtsies.bigcartel.com. The first like round of playmat pre-orders is closed as of today, actually. So I'm going to get the first batch underway and then take it from there. Check out our Decked Builder affiliate link at store.decked builder.com/T1thoughtsies. We actually had a pretty good response to that, which I was very happy with, because like I said, it is a tool that we both use. Otherwise, we would not promote it. So definitely go check them out. I did a Best Muppet poll on Twitter, and the Swedish Chef correctly won handily. Just FYI.
All right.
Look,
good to know.
He's the best Muppet. Like, not even like it's. It's him, Stadler and Waldorf, Bunsen Honeydew, honorable mention Beaker, end of
the list. I like Kermit, man. I'm a big Kermit guy.
Wait, what do you play, Mario and Mario Brothers all the time? Are you Super Smash Brothers Mario guy?
I just like Kermit. He's a relatable dude.
You have a lot of sad amphibian problems. So we are still going on with the split episode. So this one's going to be in two parts. Make sure that you download both of them for maximum enjoyment. I am also, we did get a couple of requests for people who like the full episodes. I'm working on that. I think I probably will just end up doing a separate feed. So if people just want the full episodes, then they can subscribe to the other feed and it shouldn't be an issue. So that, as they say, is that. SCG Charlotte was last weekend. Spoilers, I did not break even.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was not here for the last one, but curious how that went.
Not great. So I went there expecting Dredge, so I made some changes to the main deck. Like, nothing huge, right? Like, I played a Nile Spellbomb in the main, and I cut Tireless Tracker for I played a Kitchen Finks in the main, a Nile Spellbomb, and I cut the that card. I cut the Inquisitions and I ran all Thought Seizes and reworked the mana base, so it just had more green mana available for scavenging use. So it was, you know, like it was a change, but it wasn't like the game plan was still the same, right? Like, kill all your stuff, thought seize your guys, play Bob, Liliana, etc. What I faced was Jund round one, and I'd done very little like actual prep for the mirror, and because I didn't think a lot of people were going to be playing it, and it's also a very difficult match. Like, it's hard. And so I won game one, lost game two, and lost game three because I never drew a third land, and that was very tough. round two. I played against Ad Nauseam. I won 2-0. You just never... I was never in danger of losing that game. Round three, played against Green White Hate Bears. Got me game one, game two, game three. Not close. Round four, played against Humans. I should have mulliganed more, which is actually kind of one of my big takeaways from this event was really, really, really need to mulligan more. Cause I just, you know, like I would keep a hand and be like, this hand is fine. And it was fine. But if my opponent didn't also have a hand that was just fine, it was, you know, I would have been better off at like five good cards rather than like six cards. Round five, I got destroyed by Green Black Elves. That deck is really good, man.
Yeah, Elves is really powerful.
It was just, you know, like game one, I didn't have enough. Like they just sort of got wider than I could deal with. And then game two, I died a turn before I was going to draw my Languish. And that happens sometimes.
Yep.
And I foolishly, I looked. I was like, was I going to get there? And the answer is yes, and it made me a little bit sadder. So then I went in. I still had, like, the ghost of a chance, right? Like, I was X3 with, like, the world's worst breakers, but I was like, I'll play it. Like, if I get to X and 4, then, you know, I'll find something else to do. And so I sit down. The guy is playing Jeskai, and I was like, come on, man. Like, what are you even doing? And so game one, I beat him.
Oh, I'm going to answer for you. He was fighting the good fight.
Sure he was. He was.
He's out there representing.
He was out there playing a deck that's 45% against the field. So I know from experience from playing this match that I can beat either Jace or Teferi, but not both. And so in the games when I was able to avoid that board state, I was fine. And the games where I was not able to avoid that board state, I lost.
Shocker.
It was not shocking at all. It was just very annoying. Really, really, really frustrating.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience when I was playing Jeskai in blue-white, if you ever had Jason Teferi in play, you almost 100% won that game.
Oh, yeah, there's not even an argument to be made. Like, just stop, right? As soon as those two things resolve, unless you have, like, I don't even know, double planeswalker kill spell that doesn't exist. So that was that. I went 2-4 drop, and then the entire like rest of the room apparently was on like Amulet and Titans. There were 12 Primeval Titans in the top four, which is a lot of Primeval Titans to be.
That is a lot of
to be anywhere. Titans. He's a yes. Robust gentleman. So how they fit 12 of them, I'll never know. The quick breakdown of the expenses. I paid $280 for the plane ticket. Three nights at Airbnb was $135. Shout out to David, who was great. I spent $77 on Uber trips, and that was not a... Those were not frivolous Uber trips. That was like just to and from the airport and a couple of like very small local stops. I spent $100 on 4 hours of coaching, which was quite good. And if you are in the market for coaching, Emma was great. So I have nothing but good things to say about that. I felt like it was money worth.
I will say that is kind of not a very good expense, to count towards your trip, I guess. Because that isn't like something you did, like you did it for like this project, right? But like, it's not something that was exclusive to this trip. Like that just made you a better Magic player.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So even if we sort of put that in the side column, right? Sure. I spent about, call it $50 in leagues. you know, just playing over the course of a couple of weeks. There was a $50 entry fee. And so I spent, depending on whether or not you want to count the coaching, $590 or $690 going to this thing, for which I received $0 in prizes and I believe one pity point from SCG for participation. I had originally intended to play in the Classic on Sunday. I did not play in the Classic on Sunday because including the Uber to and from the venue and the entry fee, it would have cost me $100. And I was not confident that I would even come close to like even recouping the car ride there. And I also was not feeling well because I just, for other reasons that were mostly related to the venue, just not feeling well. So I instead hung out at my very inexpensive yet palatial Airbnb and watched all of The Haunting of Hill House, which, if you like ghost stories, is quite good on Netflix.
It's fair.
So that was like, that was good EV for me. And then I flew home and that was that. I will say I sort of touched on this in the last episode with Jadine and I was like, we talked about it a little bit and I was like, why does anybody do this? Because even just the prep, I was like, my sleep is suffering. My personal relationships are suffering. My, like, you know, it is an investment of time and sort of ephemera that is not negligible. And so I was like, I didn't see it. And then I dropped all this money and flew down there and scrubbed out and still didn't see it.
Well, I think you missed some of the best parts of the trips. So, like, for me, the part I enjoy the most, and the part, like, I know this sounds weird, but the car ride to the event is one of the absolute best parts of the event for me. It's not the best part because I'm traveling. It's the best part because I'm with friends, and we're, like, we have this, like, excited energy anticipation for the next day type situation, you know? And it's like the time you get to spend just like talking about your deck with your friends, like metagame decisions, what changes, what last minute adds, like all that stuff, how you approach X matchup, whatever. Like all of that, that is awesome. Like that is, you know, something that I actually like just really, really enjoy. And, you know, you went to this event alone, which, you know, like I'm not hating on it. That's just like how, like that's just like the reality of the situation you're in. Like that's how you had to approach it. But for me, that's like one of the best parts. So I think you are missing some of the experience, I guess.
Okay. Is that experience worth $600?
Well, so here's the other part is that when I'm going to these events, I'm going with other people. So like where your plane ticket costs you a bunch of money, like the plane ticket's not going to change. But like when I'm doing a car ride, like that plane ticket expense is a lot less because it's probably a similar amount of gas to like the, no, that's not even, like gas is like 100, 150, something like that for like a full trip somewhere, right? But that's split between four people.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, a lot of this is a lot cheaper. And like, we stay in like one hotel room when we go. So like, that's cheaper. You know?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I'm just too old for that. You know, like I did that for literally 25 years of like going to cons and like piling, you know, 12 people into a hotel room and like sitting in a car full of farts for like 10 hours. Like I did all that stuff. And like now at 38 and with like a full-time job, I'm like, I work for a living. I should not have to sit in a fart box for 10 hours, no matter how much I like the people. And, you know, and then go and like not have any privacy or any like room. That is just madness.
Well, see, but that's, I mean, that's like a personal thing though, right? It's like, I also work for a living. I could afford to like, you know, go by myself if that's what I wanted to, but like I actively go with friends because it's more enjoyable for me.
Sure. And I'm not saying that like I would never do that. Like there is certainly something to be said for the road trip aspect of doing this. So I get that. I still find it hard to believe that even in that scenario, you still don't end up losing money on almost every trip.
Well, it also depends how much you win, right? Because like the problem here is that the income ledger of this balance sheet is showing a zero, which like that was the idea, was like you were trying to win enough to balance it out, which can be hard, but like if you do win, like it definitely balances out, you know?
It does not balance out, like not even a little bit. I would have had,
maybe not here. I have bought like some very expensive cards just based on going to trips and winning.
Sure.
But not like trying to brag, but like
I am trying to brag a little bit, but that's fine.
I am trying to brag a little bit, that's fair. But like that's just the reality of the situation. Like
even if I had top eighted, right? Like even if I had top eighted, I still would have been down between $100 and $200. And
sure.
Like that's money. Like those are real dollars.
I mean, those are real dollars, and Magic is not a cheap hobby. But the other thing too, like you have to consider a little bit, is like even if you were just at home, you'd be spending money doing something generally, right? Like if you're gonna take, you know, your wife or girlfriend or whatever out for dinner that night, like that's some amount of money. You know, you're gonna go to the movies, whatever, that's some amount of money. Like there is, it's not like the amount of money you spent versus zero is like what the cost of that day is because you're on this trip. It's like, you know, versus whatever you would have spent at home ordering, you know, the pizza that night in the movie or whatever it is that you did.
Sure.
So like there is some amount of that. And then also there's just some amount of like, you went to a particularly expensive SCG. Like my expenses for SCGs are never this high.
Right.
I've never paid this much. In fact, they're usually like a third of this, which is why I can make money going to them, because I keep, you know, I keep the expense aspect down.
Sure. So here was my, like, my general takeaway was that you can't view it as a money-making venture. And by extension, the idea that you could ever make a living is a complete fantasy. There is a 0.0% chance that you can make a living just playing Magic. And
that is true.
Anybody that tells you otherwise is lying to you.
Well, that is true, but that's why you also see the pros, like the people that do make a living from Magic. It's not they're making a living just from tournament winnings. They're making a living from, you know, producing content and or, you know, like running like a business where they buy and sell cards or something along those lines. Yes. But they also just play in tournaments.
Well, the ones that are actually making a living play poker.
Well, some of them, sure.
Like if we're being 100% honest with ourselves. So now if I was to do this again and sort of like do all of those things that you're talking about, right? Like drive instead of fly, you know, double or triple up on rooms, et cetera, et cetera. Like I don't think I would go if to any event. And this is something that I said after a GP, but I think it's like extra true here, is I wouldn't make that trip if I didn't have any buys. Like, I think that is just financial suicide to just be like, I'm going to waltz into this thing and just, you know, breeze through the first six rounds and, you know, everything will be fine. I don't think that it is possible to overstate how valuable a buy is.
Well, okay, so on the buy standpoint, I agree for the most part, like 95% agree.
Okay.
Because buys are incredibly valuable, and people like drastically underestimate how much a buy is actually worth. So buys are worth a ton. But I will say that saying you wouldn't go without a buy is kind of crazy, because there are times where it's like, it just doesn't matter if you have a buy or not, you should just go. And those times, like, let me ask you, how did you feel about your deck going into the event? Like, what was your general feeling on your deck?
I was confident that I would be, you know, Jund, that I had Jund percentages, i.e. probably 50-ish percent against most things, and, you know, variance, good variance and tight play would have gotten me the rest of the way, which is, like, pretty much...
So, how you felt like it was good?
Yeah. Essentially. I mean, there's very few times when I would consider Jund to be bad. Like, there are times when it's bad, but those times are rare, and I don't feel like this is one of those times.
Well, okay, so from my perspective, I have gone to events where I felt like I could not lose, like, going to the event. Like, I was playing with my deck online, I was just not losing. I was playing, you know, in paper, just not losing. Just everything I did, just no losing. And those times are not, like, consistent. It's kind of few and far between, but that is, you know, a place I have found myself, you know, on occasion. And when you are, like, feeling hot like that, like, you should go to an event, because then, like, not even, like, it doesn't matter if you have the buy or not. When you feel like you're winning like that, like, just go and just, you know, ride that hot streak, I guess. That is, like, one of the times where I would say, like, I don't care if I have a buy or not. Like, I'm just crushing with this deck right now. I need to be playing an event with it.
Okay. So I think that segues perfectly into the sort of overarching structure of how a lot of these things work, which is that there's an underlying gambler's fallacy to, like, the whole thing.
I do know what the gambler's fallacy is. I am aware.
Okay.
And I know what you're trying to say is that, like, you can be on a hot streak, go to the event, and lose. And yes, that is possible, but Magic is not just a straight up gamble. It's not like flipping a coin, even though there are aspects to the game that are like that. But there are other aspects to the game that is confidence in your plays, deck's positioning in the metagame, like how it stacks up against other decks, you know, how comfortable you are with your deck. And sometimes, like, all those confluence of events just come together, and it just really feels like you can't lose. And I've had this happen to me at events where it was just, like, I was testing the week before, it was, like, every deck I played against, my sideboard felt perfect for, I knew how to play all the matchups, I knew how to board right. You know, I knew, like, what their game plan was, just all of that. And when you went and played, it was just, like, you know, it just kept repeating out the same way, where you just kept winning because, you know, you would put in all this time, it just, everything felt right, right? So, it is, like, there is some aspect of the gambler's fallacy to it, but there is some aspect that isn't. And I'm telling you, like, if you ever are just, like, on a huge hot streak, like, you're playing online, you're playing in paper, whatever, you just, like, can't lose with the deck, like, one specific deck, and, like, and the metagame hasn't changed, and it's not like, you know, you were winning and then standard rotated and now you go to the next one. Like, that is a different situation, right?
Sure.
But it's like you're playing the same format, nothing changed there. Like, I would go play because, you know, momentum does carry over in Magic to some extent.
I don't believe you. Like, and not in a, like, I'm not trying to, like poo-poo that part of it. It's just, I guess for me, or at least my perception of it, is that it is, like, this, like, is so not, sometimes this is... sometimes the only way to win is not to play, right? Like, I won $100 at that classic because I didn't spend $100 to go to it.
That is fair, but at the same time, like, you could have made money at the classic if you had actually won at the classic, you know? Like, it could have gone poorly for you. Like, you could have missed your flight. Like, there's a whole confluence of events there, right? But you also missed out on, like, seeing friends at the event that day and, like, getting to, you know, hang out with people, which, you know, is part of what you pay for. Like, it's part of the experience of the trip.
Sure. Right?
And that's just, like, that's not a monetary thing. It's, like, a happiness thing. But my point was with the buys. Like, you say you wouldn't go without a buy. And I'm telling you, like, a scenario where it's right to go even if you have no buys. Okay. And that's, like, when you're on the hot streak.
All right, so how do I get an SCG buy? How does that even work?
You need to be top 16 on the leaderboard, or top 32.
Top 32. Yikes. Okay, never mind. That's literally never going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way to get by, you have to go to events to get buys. Like, that's the other thing, is, like, you've got this, like, catch-22 going on where it's, like, I'm not going to go without a buy, but I can't get a buy unless I go. You know?
Yes. So, I guess I just need to play, like, if I was going to do this, if I was serious about it, I would just go to IQs, I think. Right? Like, that's... Because you get SCG points for that.
I don't think you get them towards buys. I think they are just towards, like, the invitational. Like, they can qualify you for the invitational, but they're not going to count towards... Oh, no, I'm wrong. No, they will go towards buys.
Okay.
So that's still a ton.
Sure. I mean...
You can go to those things. That's fine. Like, and I'm not even saying, like, you're necessarily wrong on these. I'm just pointing out, like...
I guess I wouldn't go to an open cold again. I guess
that's fair.
Right? Like, I would want to have some sort of footing. You know, and that's one of the things that I think is important to realize in terms of getting what you want out of it. You know, I was going there for a specific purpose, right? It was to do this project, get this data and do as well as I could. And I guess my take on it is that, or my summation is, like, this is not what I want from a Magic event. And that's not a dig on, like, SCG. Like, I think they run exceptional events, and I wouldn't like not recommend. Like, I think people absolutely should go, like, as tournaments are run, and it's sort of a byproduct, right? Is like, if one of the things that you enjoy most is socializing, going to an extremely well-run, efficient tournament is not a good place to do that, because there's very little time between the rounds, because they turn over quickly, because, like, everybody's on point. And so you get to be like, hey, how'd you do? Oh, I won. Great. Oh, I lost. Oh, bad beats. And then, like, you're off to the next round. And then the only people that you do end up having time to socialize with are the other people that have scrubbed out and are in a bad mood.
Well, sure. I mean, SCG also runs team events too, though. Like, you didn't go to a team event. And, like, team events, there's a lot more socializing going on.
Sure.
Where it's like, you're talking to your team during the round, you're playing, you're talking with them after, because you all finish at the exact same time and start at the exact same time.
Yep.
Like, I've played team events and just normal events where it's like, in between every round, we just, like, have a table and we all play Love Letter, which is just like a card game.
I'm aware of Love Letter, yes.
And it really is a ton of fun. Like, I love playing Love Letter with a bunch of people there. And it's like one of my favorite things to do in between rounds, to socialize with people, is just, you know, play a game of Love Letter.
Yep.
And that's like a quick, easy thing to do, but, you know, it does make the event a lot more enjoyable.
Yes. Agreed. So I will say specifically that if I ever have occasion to go to this particular event venue, I would be 0% to return to the Cabarrus Arena and Events Center in not Charlotte, North Carolina. It was far away from everything, and there was nothing nearby. The on-site food vendor closed at like 4 p.m., maybe 5, and the event clearly runs much longer than that. And the only vending machine was broken. There was no cell phone reception inside because the building was basically like a bunker, and the pay Wi-Fi was like ridiculous. So every round you had to go outside to get your pairings, because there was no cell phone reception inside the building.
That stinks. Yeah, that's bad.
It was just, you know, and you know, once again, I don't know the particulars of how or why this venue was chosen. I'm sure there's a reason for it, right? Like, I have enough confidence in Star City as a tournament organizer that they weren't like, yeah, I'll just find some crappy place and you know, throw people there. Like, there was a reason for it. I'm not privy to what that reason is. All I'm saying is, it'll be a cold day in hell before I ever go to this place again.
And that's fair. Like, this place might have stunk, but, like, I promise I've gone to SCGs where the venue was awesome. Like,
oh, sure.
Cincinnati, nope, Columbus, me. Indianapolis, all are just fantastic. Like, would highly recommend.
Sure.
Any of those. So it's like, you know, in Cleveland too. It's just like,
I liked it. Like, I like that Cleveland was the afterthought. It was kind of like a little backhanded compliment.
Well, Cleveland is decent. It's not, the problem is it's close to Columbus and Columbus is just so good. But that's, you know, side note, neither here nor there. Like, the point is just like, you got a bad event and like a particularly bad location, right? And on top of that, like, you had to go by yourself. Like, it was just a confluence of, like, bad factors that caused you to miss out on, like, some of the better parts of the event. And then on top of that, like, there just wasn't a lot of winning, which makes every weekend harder, right?
Sure. So what did I learn as far as, like, things that I could have done better? Because, you know, obviously, I take responsibility for, like, my play, the stuff that I had control over. I did not have a good enough sideboard plan. Like, I had meant to spend extra time, like, making a written sideboard plan, and I didn't finish it, and I didn't really, like, get to dig into it. So I am sure that the decisions that I made for some of the matches were suboptimal. And that's an easy thing to fix. Like, I could have very easily just taken a day before I left and been like, okay, here's going to be my sideboard plan. We already talked about the mulliganing thing. Like, I was not confident enough to sort of make difficult mulligan decisions. So I ended up keeping a lot of hands that were probably like borderline that should have been mulliganed, that probably would have had better outcomes. I was not prepared for the mirror at all. And because I was like, well, who else is going to be playing Jund? Like, Jadine's going to be playing Jund, and if we play, I'm just automatically going to lose because the difference in our play skill is astronomical. So, you know, I was ready to just have that be the case, right? And I didn't. There were not a lot of humans, but I ended up playing against them. Or there were a lot of humans in the room. Humans, the deck, obviously, when there were a lot of regular humans there too. But I didn't, I don't feel like I prepared enough for it. And that, I think, is a byproduct of just testing on Magic Online, because I've just played against so much burn and so much like stuff that I will not see. And so I think in terms of testing, I didn't have a representative gauntlet to work with. So that was another thing that was kind of like questionable.
Sure.
And so now, like, now that all that gloomy stuff is out of the way, there was a ton of stuff that was dope. Like, you know, like I said, the SCG event sort of running apparatus was top notch as always. It never had an issue with any event of theirs that I've been to. The judges were great. There was an offsite event on Friday, with BCW and Team Lotus Box did like a come battle with us thing, and you win sleeves and stuff like that, and it was very cool. It was at a place called Scott's Collectibles in Kannapolis, North Carolina. So if you're in the area, the people that own it were very nice. And I bought I did not know that this was a thing, but WizKids puts out a series of miniatures, and one of their lines is called Deep Cuts. And the Deep Cuts line has like just miscellaneous furniture and stuff. And
okay.
And one of the things, right, is so for like for D&D, and sure. This is just like miniatures, and they have a rack, like a torture rack.
Ooh, okay.
And I saw it, and I was like, I have to own this. And so now I have a little tiny rack that sits on my desk.
That's awesome.
So, like, you know, like, that was cool. I mean, I need to get 7 more of them, obviously. And you know, seeing people, right? Like, I got to see Kat and I got to see Emma and I got to see Janine, who I don't get to see very often anymore because she doesn't live up here. I got one of my friends, Jake, who's actually works at my LGS, was down there. So I got to see him in sort of like a different context. You know, and I saw Caleb Shearer, got to say hi to him. And I got to meet Saul Malka finally, which was super cool. I was like, he's finally on Twitter now. So it's my lazy communication style is much easier when people are on Twitter because I can just message them.
Sure.
But like, I went up, said hi. He was very, very friendly. He was like, oh, hey, it's great to meet you finally. Da, da, da. So we chit chatted for a little while. I got to meet Becky, who came in third at the event. Scape Shift, like Titan Shift, did the business. So that was very cool. I got to hang out with Liz, she edits the VClick podcast. Kat's friend Liz.
Yep.
So she was super cool. I got to meet Ryan Overture finally, and sort of chit chat with him. I met Paul Muller, who's very nice. There are, I'm sure, a number of other people that I met that my memory is failing me because, as previously stated, I am old.
Fair.
Look, man, there's only so much room in my brain, and I need to know what, like, every stupid bulk rare from Future Sight block does in case I need it for a brew. And I cannot be held responsible for remembering things like people's names.
Fair. That is fair.
You know, like, if you need to know what Arcanum Wings does, I'm your guy. If you need to remember, like, me to remember meeting somebody, please find someone else, because I'm not that dude. So, you know, I guess, like I said, would I do it again? Yes, absolutely. You know, seeing friends and sort of when the stuff goes well, it is absolutely worth doing. In a, like, I'm going on vacation and vacations cost money. If that's the mindset, then I'm in, right? Like, this is just a thing that I'm going to. And, you know, my friends are going to be there and we're all going to be kind of doing the same thing and whatever. You know, will I have zero future as a grinder. Like, I'm very convinced that you are completely insane and I have no idea why you do this to yourself.
It's love, man.
Right. And, you know, and that's the thing.
Struggle, like, of love.
Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like running the numbers and just like trying to figure it out. And I get it, but also, you know.
Well, look, like, for me personally, there's some amount of like leveraging skill to this, right? Because it's like, you spent this time to get better so that you could do well at this event, right? And, like, it didn't go great, right? Like, it didn't work out the way you wanted it to. But you still spent the time to get better, right? And, like, that is, like, a microcosm for the first, like, year I went to SEGs. And I only went to SEGs that were near me. Like, I wasn't traveling to ones far away. I was going to, like, you know, ones that were, like, a 3 or 4 hour drive. Which, I'm lucky that there are some for me that are in that distance. But, like, it doesn't really matter the event. Like, you can play on Magic Online, you can play, you know, in local PPTQs, whatever. Like, there are, if you can find events near, you can go to them. And, like, I was losing when I first started going to them, but I practiced and I got better, and I, like, did this, you know, routinely. Like, I continued to do it. And then eventually it was like, well, now when I go, I expect to do well because I have been doing this long enough that I feel like I can leverage my skill during matches, right?
Sure.
So it's like, yes, when you first start, like, expect to lose, but that's like every game you play. Like, you can't just tell me, like, tomorrow you're going to be a professional basketball player, like, walk up to, like, you know, ex-professional team and, like, try to play with them. Like, you're going to, you know, do terrible. Like, that's just how that works. Like, you haven't practiced basketball, you haven't played in 2 years, or I don't even know whatever. However long it's been since you played basketball. You know what I'm saying?
Literally never.
All right, well, that's fair. You probably would do really bad then.
I would do super bad.
But that's the
I've same held thing a basketball, like, and I understand that it is a game that has rules. Asterisk. I do not know what any of those rules are, and I do not have any of the physical, other than being 6 feet tall, which I guess is a thing. That is my only advantage. And
that's like short in basketball terms too. Okay. Like, it's not even an advantage. Well,
then you know what? There's no buys in basketball, so I'm
there's no buys in basketball.
You know, I'm totally out.
No, that's fair. But like for me, like part of it is that like right, like I spent this time, like I spent time losing so that the next one I went to I could win, and that's like what happened, right? Like I lost. Oh, I won. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I lost, you know, five or six more, and then oh, I was in the top eight. You know, like. It's a slow grind, but like, look at anybody that is successful. They went through it and they figured out, you know, how to navigate that path, I guess. And, you know, they get to the point where like, they've done enough of these. They have enough experience. They're familiar enough with the game, if you will. And then, you know, and then they start winning and then they start actually making money. Like that's just how the whole process works.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, I can see why this one went bad. And like, yes, it turned out negatively, but at the same time, it's like, you're looking at the very first part of the process, right?
Sure.
Like, all the rewards come down the road, and you're like, yeah, the first day sucked. Well, it's like, yeah, the first day does suck. It's like, even, like, compare that to going, like, you know, getting back in a workout regimen, which, you know, is something that we've been, you know, stressing on the Discord. Like, the first day you go back to working out might actually be fun. The second day is not. It is awful. It's horrible. It hurts.
Strong agree.
And it's like, yeah, like, that sucks, and there's no rewards to it. Like, it just is something you did, and it sucked. But it's like, you know, 6 months later, if you continue doing this, all of a sudden you're fit, like, you look good, like, you feel good, like, you know, there's a ton of benefits. You just didn't see them for a while. And, like, that's what is going on here. But, like, you're focused on, like, the microcosm short-term aspect of it. So, like, I will say, like, I don't disagree with any of your takes. I think you were right on all of it. It's just that, like, you didn't look big enough picture, in my opinion. If what you were trying to do was, like, actually make money from it, right?
Sure. All right. Let's do the break.